When today's guest was growing up as a young child, his mother told him not to play with matches, and this impacted him for the rest of his life. He's now the fire services specialist for the City of Santa Barbara Public Safety / Fire. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Christopher Braden.
Thanks for having me on, Mark. I appreciate it.
Was there any truth to the story that I just made up about your mother telling you not to play with the matches?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. And, you know, as a local Goleta native growing up, I was fairly young to date myself. And when the Painted Cave Fire happened, I was in second grade. And I have a very distinct memory of standing on my grandfather's balcony. He lived in Encina Meadows and over off of Fairview, and just watching the fire come down the hill and, you know, move through a lot of neighborhoods. It was a very distressing thing for me as a child. And then going to church that Sunday, and half of the congregation off of Turnpike had lost their home. So it's been something that has kind of stuck with me and affected me, and I'm sure in more ways than one has kind of affected my career path.
That's very interesting. And just by pure luck, I made a stupid comment, and you had a great answer, and very interesting to learn that, Christopher. And of course, you dated yourself as well. I have pants older than you are, so that's kind of depressing. So, Christopher Braden, just to clarify, you don't work for the fire department. You work for the City Public Safety / Fire Division?
So I do work for the fire department under the City of Santa Barbara. I am in the Prevention Bureau. So it's a fairly lean bureau. We have about nine of us between inspectors, front-end staff, and then three of us in the Wildland Division. So it's me, Mike Lopez, who's my counterpart. He does pretty much the same job that I do, with more emphasis on the coastal zone. And then Mark Montillo, who is the Wildland Fire Specialist. He's technically an Inspector 2 with Wildland. He's my supervisor, then kind of overviews everything at the 30,000-foot level. So we are under the Prevention Bureau inside the City of Santa Barbara Fire Department.
Well, your supervisor did call me, and he's listening right now to make sure you don't make any mistakes. No pressure. No pressure. All right, Chris Braden, it's kind of interesting how we met, and I have some questions to talk to you about. And basically, we met because clients of mine called you out because they're getting their property ready to rent. And and we'll talk about, you know, what you told them, and there's so many details. But a couple of things came up that I wanted to start off with. As we were walking around the property, I saw them after they had done about half the work you recommended, and they were so pleased with, you know, your help. And things had overgrown over the years, and they had a huge roll-off there filled, and they were getting another one, and they were into it. They were into it. They had to change homeowners insurance to renters insurance, and they got it. And the agent who I recommended told me, because I asked, you know, do you deal with people like, you know, Christopher Braden and fire, and, you know, these fire hardening disclosures we have now in real estate? And she said basically the insurance carriers that write the insurance will come out 60 days after the policy goes into effect, do their own inspection.
That's correct. And I've encountered that a lot with, you know, insurance companies, especially as of late. It seems like they're taking a very hands-on approach to assessing properties and making sure that they're meeting defensible space requirements. So, you know, as of, you know, in 2017, we had a lot of destructive fires locally. You know, we had the Thomas Fire, which at the time was the largest fire in state history, over 300,000 acres. And then around that same time, we had the Camp Fire, which burned down the town of Paradise, and there were over 80 fatalities that were involved in that fire. So between those two large fires, I think that there was a big move from insurance companies to either pull out of the market or really get more hands-on with individual properties and look at them, you know, opposed to just, you know, calling out whole zip codes or pulling out of the market entirely. So I've seen a lot more interaction one-on-one from the insurance side in the last few years.
Very good point. Christopher Braden, Fire Services Specialist, City of Santa Barbara, is my guest. And yes, they're taking a more proactive And, you know, it's not as if it's the end of the world. I mean, I don't know what my my client spent, but they wanted a really, they took your advice and went probably twofold. We were walking around the house, and we were looking at their eave vents. And they pointed out, and they said, you like those because they were the small circles with fine mesh screen. And I was thinking to myself, oh, yeah, that's not the best for airflow. And then they looked down, and we looked at their sub-area air vents that were the larger, I don't know if they were quarter inch, but the wire mesh to allow a lot of air in. And they said that you kind of mentioned that could put a screen, but you didn't really recommend it or push them. And it's funny because I contacted Adam Simmons telling him you were going to be on the program, and we started talking about those sub-area vents, and he's more worried about water intrusion. He's a hydrogeologist as well. Mm-hmm. And he's got me so tuned in. First thing I thought of is, man, we need that air ventilation in the sub area. Mm-hmm. So what's your experience with the difference with embers flying into the eave where maybe there's insulation, a lot more combustible material versus in a sub area where you might just have dirt?
That's correct. And that's kind of a proper assumption. And what I've seen in a lot of structures where their lower vents will generally have a larger mesh to allow airflow. Generally speaking, the lower vents, you're not, unless you're using your lower crawl space for, you know, storage or things like that, you're not going to have as much combustible material. The one caveat I would say, and I kind of look at every property individually and situationally, where if you do have overhanging trees or leaf litter that's getting deposited by those vents, more than likely over years, you'll start to see accumulation of leaf litter below the house and kind of in areas where you're not actually able to see quite as readily as then if you, you know, pop your head in the upper crawl space with the upper soffitting vent. So, you know, depending on the situation, you know, again, with any of the vents, both upper and lower, if you're going to install screening or if you're going to go up to a 1/8 inch mesh, which is what we recommend at minimum, talk to an HVAC specialist. It may be a situation where you might need to put a couple more vents in to reduce the mold. So I always tell people kind of proceed with caution. One of the other ones I see a lot too, with a very fine mesh, so I believe on the property you're speaking to, their soffitting had 16th inch mesh, so very, very tight. Sometimes that stuff can get painted over. Even with 1/8 inch mesh, I've seen when you paint the exterior of the house, those end up getting covered. You want to make sure you're not doing that because that's going to add more mold issues.
Excellent, excellent points. And I want to revisit what I just said, which was rather lacking when I said, you know, in the sub area you have dirt. Obviously, you have all the wood framing for the house, so there's plenty of combustible material in the sub area. I just kind of threw it out there, and you brought up a great point. Well, you got guys with leaf blowers, and you're blowing into debris in the crawl space, so that's something to stay on top of. And this particular house had the bigger quarter inch, and then on the side they had the louvers, which I would assume would maybe prevent debris and maybe embers from flying in?
Correct. And a lot of the time, those louver vents will actually have a screening inside of them. So it's a little hard to tell, especially on the lower ones. You got to get on your hands and knees and get a flashlight and shine it up in there. I'd say about 90% of those I've seen are usually have a quarter inch mesh. And then the actual, between the slats on the louvers, they'll actually have usually those openings are either a quarter inch or less. So again, kind of going back to what's the surrounding area is, you know, a lot of the times they'll see vents and there'll be mulch kind of right up next to the structure, which we don't recommend. And then over time that mulch, like you said, with power blowers, it can get blown in, or, you know, that would be an area where embers kind of catch on the ground and then potentially you've got flames and embers accessing in through that area. So, you know, generally speaking, it's if you can get it up to an 1/8 inch without having to make modifications, that's kind of what we recommend the most.
And again, great to, you know, defer to people who either a roofer, if you're talking about your attic vents, there's formulas to use. And if you want to reduce the size of the vents and you either in the crawl space or up above, there's mechanical fans if needed, but get good advice. We had my sponsor Tubular George on last week, and of course he was talking about solar attic vents that you could put in to create some air circulation upstairs, up in your crawl space, in your attic, and mm-hmm. rather not crawl space, but in the attic. So if you don't have enough, you want to limit the vents because you're afraid of fire. It's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. But my guest, Christopher Braden, fire services specialist, City of Santa Barbara, I do want to talk more about these eave vents.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see if I got the two questions from Adam Simmons. Oh, yeah. So one of his was the subarea vents. And so we covered that. He's got another question about pepper trees, but let's put that on hold for a second. And before we start talking about the eave vents and what your other options are, I was listening, maybe it was something you sent me, I read, that talked about the importance of cleaning the gutters, because the gutters, if you have, trees nearby, it's not only for the water flow, but then there's another combustible material?
Correct, yeah. So we recommend, especially in areas where you may have overhanging trees, so in a lot of the homes I look at, we have a big coastal oak component inside of our wildland urban interface. So in a lot of the areas where you're likely to encounter wildfire, many properties, more than half of the properties I go to, have a large established oak tree that's overhanging the roof, or other types of trees. Pepper, as you mentioned, is another common one. What happens is those trees drop leaf litter, it gets in the gutters, and probably the second most common reason that we see structural loss in wildfires is from embers hitting on the roof, rolling down, getting in the gutters, and then burning that built-up leaf litter that's accumulated, and that slips under the roof or gets into the upper attic areas, and that's why we see a lot of structural loss. So we kind of like to reiterate that more than 80% of homes that we see lost in wildfires are because of ember intrusion, either through things like vents, getting in the gutters and crawl spaces, getting blown into the house one way or another. So again, only about 20% thereabout homes lost during wildfire are from direct flame contact, essentially that front of the fire moving through. So again, going back to, you know, kind of this new home hardening disclosure form as of 2021, they established the number one and number two factors of eaves and soffits and then roof coverings, untreated or uncovered wood shakes and shingles, and then also the rain gutters not being covered. So again, it's that similar mesh. I've seen a lot of homeowners kind of retroactively go through and just put that 1/8-inch screening mesh covering the gutters. Again, going back to talking to your local specialist, having a gutter company come out and assess it and do the installation, money permitting, we always recommend it because they generally are able to keep those a little bit more flush. I've noticed it with the homeowner kind of patch with the mesh, it tends to warp and bend over time and it allow things to go in. And then finally, you know, again, really emphasizing areas to cover with the gutter guards directly under the trees or areas where trees are going to be depositing leaf litter. So a lot of homes, you know, just depending on the location, they may not have any overhanging trees. They may not have really any accumulation of leaf litter. So it's about being kind of proactive at looking at your problem areas.
Right. And even still, no trees, you know, there's the dirt and things that could be combustible. My guest, Christopher Braden, fire services specialist, you can reach him at the City of Santa Barbara. And again, we couldn't have planned it better. We could promote another sponsor, Action Roofing, and they have a gutter and downspout division headed by the owner, Jack's brother, Steve Martin at Action Roofing. And so if you're interested in having a pro give you an assessment or a tip, let's promote another sponsor, Action Roofing. Why not? We'll just call this an infomercial. Now, I got to repeat this. This is an impressive stat. The wildfires, 20% of houses lost are lost directly from flames. And obviously, maybe they didn't have their trees cut back the way they should be, and we'll talk about that. But 20% from direct flame and 80% of these flying embers. So everything we're talking about is super important. And now we could go into these eave vents that I've heard on the radio. I looked them up online once. I hadn't really thought about it. For me, I don't live in an area where I think I would be getting embers, although you never know. Mm-hmm. And I heard of two brand names, and one is Embers Out and the other is Vulcan. And you can correct me, but my understanding is they sense heat and then they will close to prevent the embers. If that's true, and you just said 80% of the fires are from embers, that fire is nowhere near the house and the embers are flying, what, a mile?
So, yeah, correct. Sometimes up to 2 miles, correct.
So what good are these?
So, again, so with those vents that you mentioned, specifically the Vulcans, those are the ones I haven't worked too much or seen much of the ember out vents, but if they're built of the same type of material, essentially it's a honeycomb kind of grid that usually lays on top of either an eighth or usually a quarter inch mesh. When embers contact those vents, there's a reactive chemical or reactive material that's inside those vents that expands, that prevents more embers from going in. So essentially it's this reactive compound. It puffs up and it completely inhibits future embers from getting in. So again, the embers themselves will trigger those vents. They don't need a direct flame contact necessarily to prevent that ember intrusion. So usually it requires, you know, obviously a good amount of heat for that reactive material. You don't want, you know, hot days in summer blocking up all your vents, because I wouldn't even call it an issue, but essentially one of the consequences of those vents, once they're active and once they've been essentially expanded out, in the future, you have to pull those vents out. So they're kind of a one-time reactive use as far as ember intrusion. Let me stop you
mm-hmm. and thank you, because I didn't know how they worked. And I was, for some reason, thinking, you know, it had to do with heat. And so your information that you said they respond to embers makes them seem like almost indispensable.
They are a very efficient type of vent. I've noticed most of the new construction. So, for example, a lot of Conejo Road in Santa Barbara was burned during the T-fire. They had, I think, over a 90% structural loss on that one road. All of the rebuilds that have occurred in that area that I've seen, regardless of contractor, most of them are going with the Vulcan-style vents, those reactive chemical vents or reactive material vents. The other alternative, the other types of vents I've seen are what are called brand guard vents. So those are vents that essentially have kind of a multi-chambered baffle system where embers blow in and they fall into kind of a catchment and they don't actually blow in to your eaves or your eaves or your crawl spaces. So that's the other kind of permanent solution type vent that I'm seeing on construction, and probably the most common one, I think, for retrofitting homes that I've seen.
So it's a baffled kind of a vent. It probably cuts down on airflow. So then you got to make sure you're getting enough airflow overall.
Correct.
And is the name of it Brand Guard, or is that a term?
Brand Guard is the official name, and not to endorse any company or the other. And I recommend everybody doing their research. But you are correct in that those vents will oftentimes, and they're very upfront about it, can inhibit airflow from 50% or more, depending on the style or the size of your vent. So it's a bit of a trade-off that, you know, I think the Vulcan vents probably have more active ventilation. They don't have quite as much as, airflow suppressing. Again, and this is, you know, purely anecdotal from what I've seen. So I think it's kind of a weighing your decisions, as far as the style and type of vent that you want.
Well, you know, as luck would have it, we have a new sponsor, Brand Guard and Vulcan. No, I'm just kidding. I should contact them. That is so funny. You know, I didn't know about the Brand Guard and the baffles. That's baffling. But if you had a house in an area where you felt might be susceptible to embers, just off the cuff, I'm thinking I like, and I remember hearing a builder talk about the subtle differences between embers out and Vulcan. But I'm thinking the Vulcan allows you to have a larger air vent. It's true that but I think the last thing you'd worry about is replacing those if your house was just saved from a fire. But I'm mm-hmm. thinking I would go with Vulcan over Brand Guard. Do you have any personal recommendation, or would you rather not say?
You know, as I'm in uniform, I have to be delicate and not weigh in personally on either of the brands. But like you said, depending on and You know, as far as the Vulcans, you know, what the only pushback or concerns I've had from homeowners as well. Oh, well, if they're all reactive, I have to pull them all out and replace them. And like you said, a very small cost to pay for saving your structure.
I know. If they all close,
almost like a no-brainer type thing.
Right. If they all close. Well,
again,
can you tell me mm-hmm. which company you own more stock in?
To my knowledge, I'm not even sure if they're publicly traded. That's a good question.
All right. So that's a great thing. So if you're out there and you don't, you just have these regular events and you feel like you want to be protected, you could look into Vulcan Embers Out or BrandGuard vents to add on. Now the Vulcan and the that sounds like you could just retroactively add it. Maybe the BrandGuard you have to install to replace what you have. So that
I've seen either, you know, new construction, retrofitting, pretty much all of them now. They may not have exact custom sizes, but they have a large catalog of different sizes, either
okay.
on the roof or the softening okay. vents, the lower vents. So kind of whichever brand you were interested in, you could probably make it work, either retrofit or with new construction.
Okay. Chris, I want to take a commercial break and we'll come back with another segment. My guest, Christopher Braden, fire services specialist with the City of Santa Barbara Public Safety Fire Division, Prevention Bureau, one of the staff at the City of Santa Barbara. And, you know, you can call him and he can come out. And when we come back on the break, we'll find out what the consequences are. Like if you call him and he comes out and you need a lot of work, are you stuck having to do the work? And what's the consequences of an inspection? And then we'll ask my second question from geologist Adam Simmons about pepper trees, which he likes to use to reinforce hillsides. But he wanted to know, he knows they're flammable and how close they should be. You're listening to Close to the House. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.